Hello, everyone. Welcome in to another Talking Puck podcast. Little Tiny Biscuits coming back today, but plenty of news, so I don't know how tiny the biscuits really are. Stay tuned as we talk about a potential buyer for the Nashville Predators. Are the Arizona Coyotes moving forward? John Tortorella heads to Philadelphia. Bruce Cassidy and the Sundance Kid go to Vegas. The cap, what's that going to do next year? Well, we've got an answer on that one as well, and a couple other things coming up. So stay tuned. A busy biscuits on the way. All right, well, let's start with the big one that affects everybody coming up this year. It is the salary cap. It's going up by $1 million. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot. Quite frankly, it's not. However, it is significant, and it's the first time in 3 years that the cap has actually gone up. So it's $82.5 million for the 22-23 season. That means the floor is at $61 million, midpoint at $71.7 million. So that is significant, especially on the heels of Gary Bettman announcing the NHL with record-breaking revenue. Now, I mean, I don't know if that's a nudge-nudge, wink-wink, or not, Bettman announcing those massive revenue numbers, saying the league has never done better, never been healthier. Of course, the players like to hear that because hockey-related revenue drives the cap. But it's only going up $1 million, so kind of interesting to see what's going on in and around the league. But teams know the breathing room is coming. Now, is that going to help the Vegas Golden Knights for next year? No, they had to go out and acquire the Shea Weber contract, which is also big news for them. It's kind of funny, because Bettman was asked about all the cap loopholes and whatever, and basically kind of shrugged off the question in his press conference, but here you have Vegas trading for Shea Weber's deal. Weber is not going to play again, is the consensus. His contract is going to be cap room for Vegas, and it's big cap room. Actually, that is a great deal as far as getting them some breathing room for what's coming up this season and actually the next several seasons. In the meantime, they also traded Evgeny Dodonov's contract to Montreal. Montreal is able to shoulder that for one more year. Maybe they re-sign him, maybe they don't. They certainly don't re-sign him for the money he's making now, but he could be a part of their future. And if not, Dodonov had actually a great stretch run with Vegas. He could be a trade chip at next year's trade deadline for Montreal to bring them more assets. I know some people are poo-pooing Montreal for this move. I don't mind it. I think it's actually pretty good, pretty smart for them to get Dodonov, get rid of Weber's contract. They have a useful player who has no term, which gives them options and freedom. And then they're out from under Shea's salary, and Vegas needed an LTIR contract, and this is a fat one. So I guess congratulations to Vegas being able to get to a point where they're really looking like they'll be able to not only successfully dodge, but maybe even maintain most of their roster. Although, again, Dodonov was a big reason why they had success down the stretch. And Vegas has been battling injuries with Pacioretty, Stone. Eichel obviously was a big one, although he was healthy after he came back. So we'll see. That's a lot going on in Vegas for Bruce Cassidy, who said taking that Golden Knights job was a no-brainer for him. And Vegas, look, on paper, the Vegas Golden Knights are a really good job. They have so much talent. They have depth. They have stars. They have buzz. They have this beautiful arena. They have a passionate fan base. God, there's so many things to love about the Vegas Golden Knights. But there's also the reality. There's the injuries. Stone gets hurt. Pacioretty gets hurt. You know, we'll keep our fingers crossed for Eichel. What about goaltending? That's a huge question mark for these guys. What's going to happen with Robin Leonard? Is he going to be healthy? Is the relationship with Leonard, and I don't know that it's fractured or fractured beyond repair or anything like that. I don't think it is, especially with a new coach coming in. But you expect Leonard and Cassidy are going to have to sit down, have a heart-to-heart, and you have to see how healthy Leonard is going to be. You have to see, you know, what exactly his mindset is, too. Because Leonard, like it or lump it, is an outspoken guy, has no problem telling you what he thinks, and I think you need him to be on board with whatever your plan is moving forward. That's a big one for Vegas. So Cassidy has his work cut out for him, but coming out of that job with the Boston Bruins into what Vegas has now, I think he's going to be able to make a positive impact there. I'm not surprised Barry Trotz didn't take that job. Again, I've said it on the show several times. I just didn't know if that was going to be the best place for him. But now that Vegas has managed to get themselves somewhat out of cap jail, you know, things look better. They look brighter for the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm still worried about the goaltending, but we'll see how that comes up. Philadelphia, meanwhile, introduces John Tortorella. He has indeed now officially been hired. The news is out, and it looks like Tortorella, an interesting candidate to take over the Flyers. They've struggled. Philly, the last several years, I think the thing we've said about the Flyers most is this is not the team we thought it was going to be. They're not as good as we thought they were going to be. And Philadelphia, again, whether you like it or not, they are always in the shadow of the Rangers. The Islanders had a bad season this year, but they're right there. When you're as bad as the Devils, that is bad to the Flyers fan base. That is awful. That is your competitive area, that New York City area with Philly. There's always that chip on your shoulder about it. And those teams are right there with you in your division. And of course, you've got Pittsburgh, cross-state rival. You need to keep up with them. How does Pittsburgh keep making the playoffs? I don't know, but they do. Philly hasn't. They haven't figured out a way to do it. So Tortorella is a guy who becomes a sixth Flyers coach in the last 10 years. And they'll see if they can figure it out. Alain Vigneault couldn't do it. Mike Yeo couldn't do it. Last in the Metropolitan Division. He's got his work cut out for him. We'll see. I think they've only had one playoff series victory since 2012. That's not good enough in Philly. So, Torts has his work cut out for him, but he's on his way there. Let's talk franchise news real quick. Arizona has, I mean, this is something. It's not nothing for the Coyotes, but it's also not anything, I guess, super unexpected. They had an 8-hour meeting with the city of Tempe, where they really want to build this arena eventually after they get out of the Arizona State 5,000-seat arena. No, actually, it's 4,100 seats. I know we keep saying 5,000. 4,100. Now they can negotiate a deal. And they can negotiate with the city of Tempe. The city said, okay. They listened to concerns from Sky Harbor. They listened to good and bad from citizens. And they said, okay, go for it. Try to figure it out. That doesn't mean there's anything in place. That does not mean that they even have a concrete plan at this point or a site or any of that. But at least they can negotiate one and the city is open to it. That's what this approval means. So again, not major, but also not nothing. They could have said no. And that really would have hosed the Coyotes as far as staying in Arizona. So we'll see what they're going to end up doing there. And Preds fans, I know you've been waiting for this one, but this has been reported by Sportico. And it looks like the buyer nearing a deal to purchase the Nashville Predators is former Tennessee Governor Bill Haslam. How's that? And if the Haslam name sounds familiar to you, if you're not a Predators fan or a Tennessee native or resident, Jimmy Haslam owns the Cleveland Browns. So that's why you would know that name, the Haslam name. But yeah, Bill Haslam, potentially buying the Predators, is nearing a deal. So wow, that's something. That is a major thing for the Preds. The Preds have had this multi-headed Hydra leadership that was in place when I was there and has been in place since. And the only thing I could say is when you have four or five different owners, there's four or five different directions the horses want to pull. Somebody's got to step up and lead them one way or the other. You know, and opinions change over time. Leadership changes over time. So it'll be, for me, an interesting thing to see if Haslam does close this deal, how he comes in, what direction he's going to want to go, how much money he'll spend, what the internal direction will be. Of course, David Poile has been there since day one as a general manager. Does Haslam have any appetite for change? Because if there's the guy who wants to make change, it's the owner and he writes the checks, you better believe it'll happen. But he may not. Haslam may love David Poile. There may be no appetite for change. We'll see. There's a lot of things to come here, but a lot of implications for Predators fans. One thing we know, solid fan base, great arena, noisy building, tourist trap, area is perfect. They're not going anywhere. So that's tremendous for the Preds who, you know, were bought out of a relocation potential thing, which still comes up from time to time. But man, it's, you know, if the Predators are owned by one person, I will say this, I think that's a good thing. All right, quick rumor roundup. Nick Alberga is saying that he's hearing Ducks goaltender John Gibson open to being dealt and has told the Ducks that. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition. Mike and I have been talking about it on the show on Sunday nights for a while about Gibson maybe going somewhere. Would teams be interested in him? Of course they would. Of course they would. We talked about Gibson to Edmonton might have solved all their problems. or most of them. Still wouldn't have given them a great defense, but, you know, at least Gibson doesn't need to score goals. Anaheim had a great run earlier this year, and a lot of it was because of him. Gibson is one of the best goaltenders in the NHL nobody is really paying attention to. The guy's fantastic, amazing, and he does not get acknowledged the way he should. So we'll see what's going to happen there. Speaking of goaltending, Jack Campbell and the Maple Leafs, what's going on there? Man, he could be hitting the free agent market here. Coming up in early July. And the Leafs still have Peter Mrazek's deal, which is $3.8 million for another 2 years. They're trying to get rid of that. They're trying to figure out a way to bring Campbell back if they can. It looks like, well, obviously Campbell's due for a raise, but how are the Leafs going to do it? This is the question. I don't think Campbell, he's open to returning to the Leafs. It's not a bad situation. That's a very good team in a very stacked Eastern Conference. But I'm interested to see if the Leafs can just figure out a way to afford it. Of course, there's been talk about Ville Husso, who for a while took over St. Louis's net, lost it back to Binnington in the playoffs. Then Binnington got hurt. Husso came back in. I like Ville Husso. I think he's a very capable goaltender. I like him a lot. I don't know if they're going to keep him or not in St. Louis. It sounds like he will probably see what he can get out there. So it actually might not be a bad summer if you're looking for a goaltender. We'll see. But man, Gibson would be my number one target, and it's not even close. I would absolutely be asking the Ducks what it would take to get John Gibson. And finally, as Mike told us on the show a couple of weeks ago, sounded like Alex DeBrincat was on the way out for the Chicago Blackhawks. And we know that one of Kane and or Taves is going, and I don't see how it's not Kane. He's the one who's got the value. He has a fat contract. Both of them do. But, man, if you're going to deal one of those two guys and get return, it's Patrick Kane. You know, the Blackhawks are not going to contend for a Stanley Cup anytime soon. And if the Blackhawks want to bring assets back, that's the important thing for them. We'll see what they're going to be able to get back. But they need to hit home runs on these trades as far as assets, whether it's picks, prospects, young players. Chicago really needs to hit on these. The Hawks have to plan for 3 to 5 years out as far as bringing it back. And Jonathan Taves is a guy, he's got three cups. He's the name recognition. He's the guy they're going to keep there until he retires. He's Mr. Blackhawk, Captain Serious. He's not going anywhere. I can't see anyone taking him unless it comes to a point where, again, like Shea Weber, the contract ends up as a long-term IR carrot for somebody. Man, can you imagine if Taves went on long-term IR, if you were a team with cap issues? $10 million? Wow. That's a giant chunk of cap relief. Weber's is just north of seven. That's big, and it's the next 4 years. So I don't know if Vegas will need it that long, but that is something. And here's the other thing, is Weber, again, won't retire. He'll just not play. So he'll just keep getting paid. They'll keep paying him, but they need that cap room. Unbelievable. So that's pretty much the roundup. And, you know, this, like I said, this wasn't a very tiny biscuits. Got lengthy out there, but just so much to talk about today. So much going on in the National Hockey League. So I wanted to drop that out there on everybody. But thanks for listening. If you like the podcast, please like, follow, and subscribe. And don't miss Mike and I every Sunday night. We do Talking Puck TV on Twitch, on YouTube, and on Facebook Live. Just search for Talking Puck TV, and you will find us chatting. Man, we love talking hockey, especially this time of year. There's so much going on, not only the Stanley Cup Final, which has been fantastic. That Game 1 was great, and I can't wait for Game 2 Saturday night. But also, I mean, you know, this is what we're building up towards now. Only two teams are left playing. That means 30 other teams are thinking about the future right now, and things are going to start moving. So, all right, everybody, thanks so much for joining us. By the way, please follow me on Twitter. I'm at Callahan on Air. Mike is at BusterTheDog33. Appreciate you being here, and we'll talk to you next time.